I'm Mark Suddeth, and welcome to Stories from the Hurricane Highway, the podcast series supported by you, our patrons, and our Hurricane Track insider supporters. Welcome to the last episode of Season 1 as we wrap up what we have been talking about, all those miles on the Hurricane Highway. We started in December of 2019. Now, this is May 3rd, 2020, the last episode here, the season finale, as it were. We're going to wrap up some loose ends, tie up some loose ends, wrap things up, a couple of extra stories, topics that I wanted to discuss, and then that's it until December. The first Wednesday in December, we will pick up again, and we will start off with the year 2005. And wow, what a doozy that was. And wait till you hear the inside details of all of that. But before we get to that, and before we say goodbye for now, let's just recap where we have come from. As I said, started this back in December of 2019, and we began at the very beginning of my career, my college days, when I was a music major, changed over to geography, always had an interest in weather and hurricanes in particular, graduated in 1995, started working immediately to become an entrepreneur, you know, blazing my own trail, as they say. Met a lot of great people along the way that were very supportive and helpful, and that even continues today. You all being a prime example of that. The crowdfunding group that helps to allow me to do this. Well, those things have not changed. They've evolved, but they're still there, those basic principles of people who find importance in what I do, my ideas, the people that I work with, the team members that have helped over the years. It's just been an amazing journey. You know, we went through the hurricanes of the mid-90s, Bertha, Fran, Bonnie, Dennis, Floyd, the early 2000s, the advent of my relationship with Lowe's, and then Sprint, and our technology advances. We got introduced to this wireless broadband technology from Sprint, you know, where we didn't have to have a dial-up modem anymore. And eventually, you know, the Chevy Tahoe, all the beginnings of the hurricane landfall project with unmanned cameras, unmanned weather stations. You know, we set that out in Francis and Ivan, and then we wrapped everything up, you know, with 04, at the end of 04. Hurricane Jean, I think, was the perfect stopping point for this first season. And so we've covered a lot. And just by the way, if you are just tuning in to this episode and want to listen to all the rest, if you're listening on Patreon, there should be a way, hopefully, that everything's listed for you in Patreon. But, you know, to make it easy, in the post that I have made with this episode in it, there's a link to where all the episodes are located on our web server at our Hurricane Track Insider site. And everybody has access to that. So that's where they all live. If you ever want to go back and listen outside of the Patreon app, they're all there in the link that I have provided in the post here on May the 3rd, 2020, as I drop this episode, as they call it. So if you ever need to listen to a past episode, they're all there sitting on our server system. All right. So again, we wrapped everything up with a tumultuous 2004 season, a lot of advances, a lot of successes, sold the Isuzu Rodeo that got all beat to pieces. Well, not too many pieces, but it was battered pretty good in Hurricane Ivan. Sold that on eBay. I talked about that a little bit, and I'll just expand upon it a little bit more. Sold it on eBay to a family up in Havelock, North Carolina, for their young teenage son at the time. Now he's 16 years older. Tim Bruno, he's probably listening. Hey, Tim, how are you, buddy? He and his family purchased that Isuzu. Tim was going to try to rebuild it as a project. He was into weather, still is. You're going to learn about Tim again later on. A lot of these recurring characters and new characters, they're coming, you'll see. But, you know, that story of how 04 led into 05, and this is how I kind of tease it for you, that's where it began, the next phase and where we go to from here, finishing up 2004. That was the key there, selling that Isuzu. This family bought it. I gave $2,500 of the $5,000 that I asked for to Lowe's Home Improvement, to their American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund, And then I kept the other $2,500 to eventually invest in something new. Now, I didn't know exactly what that was going to be. We just knew myself, John, and Jesse, Eddie, other people that I was working with, you know, after the success of 04 and the Hurricane Landfall project, you know, we knew we can't keep taking SUVs, building them up with different things and turning them into crash test dummies. That's not going to work. That's not practical. And so that's where we leave off in terms of the stories part of this series, right? That after I collected that money, it's seed money, you know? All right, what are we going to do with it? And so those months, October 04, November 04, December 04, right? That's where I started getting the wheels turning, talking to Jesse hours and hours and hours on the phone. What are we going to do? What can we do? What? I don't know. Let's think about this. You know, just ideas. We just didn't know. And as we will start talking about in December, it magically kind of happened. You say magic, and it's also the word serendipitously, where something positive happens by accident. A serendipitous event. You'll see. And that's where we're going to pick up again in December. It's going to be very exciting. I think you're going to be really, really intrigued by the evolution of where we went from 04 and the first phase of the Hurricane Landfall project, unmanned cameras and so forth, to the leap into live video and unmanned camera boxes. So there's my teaser for next December, December 2020. We'll pick it up then. All right, so a couple of side stories, little off-ramps or rest stops along the hurricane highway to continue with that metaphorical description of all of this. Family. I don't talk about family very much. It comes up from time to time. So I thought I would address that. During this whole process, 1995 to 2004, that we've covered in season one here, I started a family during all of this other stuff, right? All those stories, all those miles, all those adventures, all those conferences, all those storms, hurricanes, everything we just went over in that time frame, added to all of those amazing stories, I also began a family. I got married in 1996, had my first child in 1997, my second child in 1999, my third child in 2001, and my fourth child in 2004. You know, it does keep going, but we're not there yet. We start with 05 and beyond in December, okay? But that's enough for now. That's four kids if you're not, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. Holy crap, dude, right? So how do you do that? So how does anybody do that works in a traditional job setting where you got to be at the office from 8:30 to 5 or 9 to 5 or whatever? Or if you're in the medical field or you do shift work, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., whatever. And, you know, my wife, she's a nurse. That's what she does, and will continue to do till she retires. How do you do that, even in a regular standard job setting? Well, I don't know, because I never was one of those regular people. I think that's clear by now. I, as an entrepreneur, had an advantage that I could work at home. That's good and bad, as we're all learning during what's happening in 2020. I try to keep current events out of our conversations here, our dialogue, but you know what I'm talking about. A lot of people are learning how to work from home with children and pets and other distractions. I have been doing that since day one, and even before day one. But you know what? It's not always easy. And that's, you know, part of these intimate details that I promise that, you know, opening up and talking about this stuff, there were times where, from the financial side of things, you know, having to ask my wife to trust me that this is going to work from a financial perspective to support the family, I cannot tell you how many times those words have been uttered. Trust me, I think this is going to work. That should just be, I should have a t-shirt that she wears, and you know, like quotes around it, and then underneath it says who it's from, and it says my husband many, many times. Trust me, this is going to work. That's what it was all about, that I'd have these ideas and I would need her trust and support. And that was not always easy. You know, she had her career that was starting up. She graduated in 1996. BSN, Bachelor of Science in Nursing, began immediately as an emergency department nurse up in Pender County at Pender Memorial Hospital. Now she works here in the Wilmington area, and she's been through all the hurricanes as a nurse that I've been in here in Southeast North Carolina. That adds stress. And then on top of that, we had kids, like I mentioned, four children. And yes, that is extremely difficult. It really is. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it and tell you, oh man, it was easy. She took care of the kids while I went and chased hurricanes. No way. That is not what happened. It was difficult because we both had to juggle things. I'm trying to work at home. I'm doing my blogging, my projects, you know, these awareness projects, video work, creating these graphics. You know, I was busy. You know, it may not be 8 to 5, 5 days a week busy. Sometimes I'd work until 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe even until 5 in the morning, because I had to, because we had kids and the kids demand your attention. There's nothing you can do about it. But we just rolled with it. You know, you had to. Well, you don't have to. I guess you could take the easy way out and say, screw it, get a divorce, do whatever. We didn't do that. We stuck together. And so far, you know, like 20 plus years into the future here, we've made it this far. And I think that's pretty darn good. But man, to say that it's been easy always is a lie. It hasn't. There's a lot of stress involved. As I said, not just the financial side, how are you going to support your family, but also just going out and being in hurricanes, being away at conferences, traveling. You know, you're away and you miss the time with your family. People that do travel for their business that's traditional, non-entrepreneur based, right? Even entrepreneurs travel. I mean, you know what I'm saying? When you travel, there's a certain bit of freedom with it. It's nice. You get away a little bit. It's a change of scenery, but you do miss your family. I know I did, and I do, and I will continue to do so. And then there's the positives. You know, you come home, and your child comes running up and gives you a big hug. They ask, you know, did you bring any surprises for us? You know, I usually bring some gifts back. More often than not, it's usually relics from the hurricane or wherever. I mean, and that's, I don't mean always like pieces of, we don't loot. It's not that. But, you know, like coconuts from South Florida or a rock from the beach of somewhere. Maybe I go up to the Northeast to study nor'easters and observe those. And I bring some of the rocks back from Massachusetts. You know, I go out into the desert for monsoon and hurricanes out of the Pacific. And I bring back desert rocks or whatever. And every once in a while, some small piece of debris that's washed up on shore from a hurricane, I might say, hey, look, this was from Hurricane so-and-so. Never anything that belongs to somebody that I could figure out a way to return. No. I'm just talking about literally relics, you know, something left over. And then the occasional toy, you know, maybe the National Hurricane Conference would be in Orlando, and I'd go to the Disney store, you know, whatever. So, but family was always a part of this. You know, I had the hurricane and the weather bug at an early age, and I started a family at a fairly early age. You know, I got started, let's see, 1997, I would have been, 27 years old, right? Is when I had my first child. So I guess that was good. I was young when I started, and I still feel young even today after lots of kids, right? Yeah, family, important part of this, absolutely no escaping it. You take the good, you take the bad, you mix it all together, and hopefully when it comes out in the wash, as they say, you got a lot more good than you do bad, and that's definitely the case. And we've made it. You know, we've done a real good thing together all those years. What else? I want to talk a little bit about where some of the people are that I met along the way, okay? People that you meet along the stops of the hurricane highway, to continue with the metaphor. Early on, Dan Summers, New Hanover County Emergency Management Director back in the day, where is he now? He went on to become the Emergency Services Director, same kind of thing, down in Collier County, which is Naples, Florida. And he's been there for many years, since the early to mid-2000s, I believe, somewhere like that. Still there today, and we occasionally run into each other, usually work-related, right? And so that's where Dan Summers is. You know, talk about him a lot in those early years. Eddie Smith, we talk about him. He went on to finish college and now is the deputy director, or no, deputy town administrator, assistant town, something like that, in Kannapolis, North Carolina. He's actually in episode one of the Hurricane Highway TV series that I've been working on. If you haven't seen that, you know, I'll post a link to that in the post for this today too, just to be sure it's all there. All right. So anyway, Dan Summers, Eddie Smith. Yep. They're still alive and well and doing good things. Eddie Smith, as I said, assistant town manager or something like that up in Kannapolis, North Carolina. Jesse Bass, met him in 1999. We still work together even today. And he has and still does live in Southeast Virginia. Still has his website, VA Storm Photo. And I think he's got jessebassphotography.com. I'll look it up and put a link there too as well in the post for this episode. Still helps out when he can. He never started a family. Well, he got married, but no kids. And he lives and works in Southeast Virginia. John Van Pelt, the guy from Storm Study. Where did he go? Well, as we'll learn, as we talk about once we start this up again in December with 05, when we talk about 2005, I guess the easiest way to describe it, we decided to part ways. It's like a relationship. Some relationships work, others do not. And at the end of 2004, I decided that it wasn't working out. We had different visions for the future, and they weren't compatible with each other, and we parted ways, and as they say, that's that. You know, nothing else can really be said. But I do know that John went on to work eventually with Weather Nation. He's always had a great passion and intellect for marketing and great radio personality. He used to do radio. Good on TV, great on TV, if you've ever seen his reports. Just bright. We just didn't get along to keep going, you know, and you just, oh, I need to make a change. This isn't working out. Same thing. That's why you don't marry everybody you meet. Well, that's one of the reasons. You get what I'm saying? Some relationships work, some do not. Some people meet their childhood sweetheart and they get married. Fine. Well, that's all it was. You know, we didn't see eye to eye. So that was the end of that at the end of 04. But John has gone on to do some great things in his career. Still does advertising and marketing, as far as I know, up in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. And like I mentioned, from time to time, you can see him. I believe he's on Weather Nation, that other weather channel that exists out there. I think they're based out of Colorado or something. So that's what happened with John. Anybody else, any big, like, names, not big names, you know, prominent figures in our stories? My professor, Dr. Brian Davis, remember the guy that went with me during Dennis in 1999? He was my professor of astronomy. I learned some physics from him as well. Just a great consultant and friend of mine. He is still a professor at UNC Wilmington, believe it or not, after all these years. Literally looks like a wizard. And he, too, is in the first episode of the Hurricane Highway TV series. And make sure you see it if you haven't seen it. Again, that's included for all of you on Patreon and Hurricane Track Insider, our crowdfunding crowd. That's included. So check it out if you haven't seen the TV episode. It's got Dr. Davis in there. And also Jamie Arnold, the guy that helped me out during Hurricane Bonnie, 1998, and again in Floyd in 1999. What happened to him? He finished college at UNC Charlotte, went on to become chief meteorologist at WMBF, at Florence Myrtle Beach, and he too is in the first episode of The Hurricane Highway, and he's still there, still down there, and Chief Guy, top dog at WMBF in Myrtle Beach. And I think that's pretty much the biggest, you know, that comprises the most prominent people. If I left anybody out, I'm sorry, but, you know, it's a little bit of like, where are they now? So there you go. What else as we wrap things up? Basically, the last thing I want to say, the real common thread throughout all of this is one, like, concept, and that is the concept of people. Without people appreciating and absorbing what I'm doing, there's no reason for me to be here. And all the people that I have met since day one, whether I have met them in person and interacted with them, like all the folks I just told you about, I value all of those relationships. And then you include the people that I have met only in the online world. Emails from thousands of people over the years, hundreds of thousands of interactions on social media, now that that's become a thing, I wouldn't trade that for anything. You know, never became a millionaire at doing this whole entrepreneur hurricane thing, but that was never the point. I just want to have a career, be able to not worry about paying my bills. That's sometimes a challenge, but beyond that, are you doing good? And that's where that word is important. You can say, well, you did well. I did well at that. But are you doing good? What's the difference? Doing good means that you're doing something that benefits, you know, the greater good. And what I do and what the people that help me to accomplish is good. We do good. And it affects people with an A, affects them. It affects people in a positive manner. And I see that coming back in the form of unbelievable support in the way that people interact. There's virtually no negativity in my entire career from people. Only a handful, every once in a while, extremely rare. So statistically, the amount of negative troll people is statistically zero, if you know what that means. You know, there's only a few people, but it's literally like having a billion white marbles and 12 out of a billion marbles are black. Well, those 12 marbles are statistically zero. You know, if you mixed them all in with a billion others, you know, roughly, it doesn't matter. Literally 99.999% of all of my interactions with people have been positive. And that's remarkable. And, you know, part of that is certainly because of me, that I try to be a good person, do good things, be true to myself, and, you know, don't screw up, you know. But it does come back in the form of good from people. I try to produce good for people, and then I get return goodness sent back to me from people. It's great. And it's more than great. It really helps to keep me going. When I get an email, and now more prevalent than ever, of course, is social media interaction, about my update really helped to explain something. Thank you. You know, somebody tells me that my guidance really helped them to get their house ready, and maybe it helps somebody to get their parents to evacuate. It just goes on and on and on. And then to think that some people are willing to support this financially on top of that is absolutely what keeps me going. It's like, wow, you know, there's no way to ever emote that to you. The importance of people, the goodness that people share from their positive experiences by what I do, what my team members have helped me do, what we all do together. That's what crowdfunding does. It enables us to do good. And that's where we are. You know, as we end this first season of Stories from the Hurricane Highway, I thank you for that. I really do. It's been amazing. And as they say, we're literally just getting started. This may wrap up the first season of Stories from the Hurricane Highway, but as you know, Probably. Unless you're brand new to all of this. You know, man, I'm just discovering this Mark Suddoth guy. Well, then you're in for a real treat, if I may say so myself, because there's a lot more. But most people know the stories, or so they think, and that's what this is all about. And I'm so happy that you have been with me along these journeys here that we've taken since December of last year and driven down the Hurricane Highway together here to, you know, talk about these things and, you know, try to make sense of it and give you the inner details that you wouldn't get unless I wrote a book. And again, that's going to happen someday. I don't know when, but there will be a book. And at least this, as I've said many times, will hopefully be a basis for that book. A book on tape, if you will. That's what this has been all about. Hey, again, thank you so much for supporting this, for supporting all of my endeavors related to weather in general, but hurricanes in particular. That's the most important part of this. But it makes us all very much aware of our surroundings, I think. If you're ready for hurricanes, you're ready for anything else, in my opinion. And that's a good thing. Speaking of doing good, that's the good that comes from this. All right, so that'll wrap it up for the first season here. Again, it'll come back in December, the first Wednesday in December 2020. We will resume Stories from the Hurricane Highway with a look at the year 2005. Make sure that you tune in for that. You're not going to want to miss it. I am Mark Suddoth for HurricaneTrack.com. As always, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it more than you will ever know. I'll talk to you again as we resume Stories from the Hurricane Highway in December 2020. Stay well. I'll talk to you then.